Hello Central, give me Dr. Jazz. He's got what I need, I'll say he has. Joe, King, Oliver, Dr. Jazz. When family, friends and fans gathered at the Crescent Legion Club 240 in South Surrey on September 22 to pay last respects to H. Rice Honeywell Sr., it was an emotional occasion, yet, happily, not a mournful one. True, family members who shared their memories of the beloved cornetist, keyboardist and vocalist had to choke back a tear or two. And who could remain untouched as Raya's widow, Nancy, his daughter Mary Day, sons Jim, Rice Jr., Keith and Roger, and generations of the notably talented Honeywell clan, too many for me to mention here, lit candles and stood in silent tribute, as one of his favorites, Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World, played on the sound system. But before long, as refreshments were served, and as the recorded music shifted to Armstrong's jaunty strutting with some barbecue, musicians began to wander up to the stage, and one could almost feel Raya's presence in the room, knowing that a jam session would soon come together. And that's just the way the late leader of the Red Beans and Rice Jazz Band would have wanted it. A thoughtful, soft-spoken man, Rice had been a valued presence on the Semiahmoo Peninsula music scene for more than three decades, before he succumbed, on August 31, to the cancer he had battled for several years. The peninsula's own, Dr. Jazz, was instantly recognizable from his trademark gray goatee, Panama hat, and golden cornet raised to his lips, foot stomping as he counted off one of the many Dixieland classics in a bulging band book. To many of us, he was one of the community's greatest musical ambassadors, even venturing as far as China on a goodwill tour with the band. But, like others, I still treasure memories of the music he also brought to smaller local venues, seated at his keyboard, jaunty cap on his head, giving out in righteous, but always danceable, stride, and boogie piano style. As the crowd at his memorial, many of them members of the White Rock Traditional Jazz Society, heard in the family's tributes, Rice had been a loving husband, father and grandfather. He'd been a generous mentor, a faithful friend, and someone whose deep and abiding religious faith was manifest in daily acts of kindness, empathy and compassion. But, whatever else he was in his 92 years on this earth, Rice was also a jazzman. His relaxed demeanor and gentle, laid-back way of speaking could not disguise the melody and rhythm right at his fingertips and deep in his heart. When Rice played a hymn tune, it became jazz, and when he played jazz, the feeling he brought to it could be every bit as soulful as a hymn. He had the manner and phraseology of the old-time jazz musician. It always sounded right when he referred to other musicians as cats, but he also had the playing and improvising chops to back it up. Friends in the traditional jazz community around the world shared his open-minded respect for those who loved and played the music. And, although he had a personal preference for the New Orleans and Chicago schools, he retained the conviction that any kind of jazz was good as long as it swung. Raya's egalitarian instincts were also at the core of his approach to playing lead trumpet, cornet, leading him to favor the pared-down, driving style associated with 20s to 30s jazzman Muggsy Spanier. The best thing a cornet player can do in ensembles is to drive it down the middle and keep out of the way of the other guys, he told me once. Traditional jazz only works when you weave all the lines together. You can't have everyone playing like a soloist all the time. It's Honeywell family legend that an 18-year-old Rice actually sat in with the illustrious Armstrong and his all-stars, in 1950, during a dance engagement at a venue in his native Montreal, when piano legend Earl Hines was late returning from a band break. As Rice related in later years, he counted it as the greatest tribute that Louis, busy interweaving improvised lines with two other legends in the band, clarinetist Barney Bagard and trombonist Jack Teagarden, never once turned round to question or disdain the presence of such a callow youth at the piano. It was our mutual regard for such traditional jazz icons as Louis, Spanier, cornetist Bix Beiderbecke and clarinetist, saxist Frank Teschemacher that established a bond when I first met Rice in 1990. Lately retired from a career owning an organ and piano dealership in Willowdale, Ont. Rice and his first wife Helen had moved to South Surrey, where Rice Jr. and Jim were already well known for their popular rock band, sibling rivals. Rice had put together a new West Coast band around a core group of Vancouver-based traditional jazz musicians, and had secured a regular weekend gig in White Rock at a short-lived East Beach restaurant called Oasis on the Bay. His music immediately connected with locals and, as recent inheritor of the Peace Arch News Arts and Entertainment section, I didn't have to be told twice that this was a scene deserving of some coverage. As a reporter, and, soon, as a fan of the band, I was one of those welcomed to Rice and Helen's Ocean Park home for the organizational meeting that led to the founding of the White Rock Traditional Jazz Society. And I quickly learned, as someone who knew the words to old tunes like Sunday and My Blue Heaven, that I could never show up as an audience member at one of Raya's gigs without him saying, "Hey, Alex, how about doing a vocal in the second set?" Little did I know that almost 30 years later I would still be covering the band, which had become house band and semi-regular feature of the WRTJS Sunday sessions, first at the Pacific Inn, and latterly at the Crescent Legion Club 240, as well as such venues as Porter's in Langley. I came to know Rice in many capacities over that time, as a friend, as a kindly and considerate mentor for my own efforts as a bandleader, and even, at one stage between moves, as an equally kindly landlord. I was there with him and his family when they mourned the untimely passing of Helen, and, like everyone else, was glad when he later found love again, with Nancy, his partner, supporter and biggest promoter over the latter decades of his life. It was bittersweet to re-encounter many longtime friends and acquaintances at Raya's memorial, including such Red Beans and Rice alumni as banjoist Bill Dixon, guitarist Don Ogilvy, bassist Casey Tolhurst and drummer Scott Robertson. And when the music began, and Raya's clarinetist friend Bob Storms and trombonist son Keith split frontline duties in the ad hoc ensemble, I was struck, suddenly, that there was just one musical voice missing, Raya's own forthright cornet. Who could there be, figuratively speaking, to carry that torch? I shouldn't have worried. When Storms announced his own composition, Bistro Boys, honoring the times he and Rice had played the White Rock Bistro at Five Corners, when it was owned by Son Rice Jr. and his wife Catherine, two other members of the Honeywell clan, sat in, with the other musicians on stage. There was Keith's son Ethan to lay down a solid beat on drums, while Keith's other son, Alex, played a silver cornet with a tone and drive that recalled his grandfather's style. And I'm sure that wherever Rice was, in that moment, his spirit was smiling.